My name is Teboho, and I currently stay in Rustenburg.
Teboho is a trans woman residing in Rustenburg, a mining city in the Northwest Province in South Africa. Teboho was wrongfully arrested as a child and spent a weekend in police holding cells. This weekend came to define a large part of her life. This is Teboho's story.
I always felt like a girl growing up, so I always played with girls and I always played with dolls. I was a very outgoing person growing up. And my parents are not quite familiar with gay people and trans people. I can see it every day in their eyes that they kind of have this thing that maybe there might be just a day whereby I would bring a girl home. They just don't seem to get it. They do not understand, but then I too feel that they don't want to understand, because these are the topics that are always brought up in our everyday lives. They're always brought up in the media, and I've always tried to hook them up to any media when they're talking about these things in terms of gender identifying, because most people in my community don't have that kind of education. I always felt very confident, very, very confident. In my school years, I used to dress up a lot. I had a love for makeup. I always had a passion for becoming a makeup artist. My friends were very supportive, and I always had those teachers who always cheer LGBTIQ people, you know, especially gay people and trans people. I found much more happiness than I did at home, actually. There was a habit of us and my friends of always picking up SIM cards, because one friend of mine once picked up a SIM card, put it in his phone, and he got a lot of airtime.
SIM cards are a type of identification card used in mobile phones. Cell phone users purchase and load airtime onto these cards to make calls, browse the internet, and send messages.
So one of the other days after school, there was a SIM card. I thought, okay, this is my luck. I picked it up, put it in my phone with the hope that I would actually get some airtime. At that age, I think I was a bit immature, if I may put it that way. I remember I was 12 years old, which I was in grade 7. I didn't know anything about these kind of things. People who steal phones, they immediately dispose of the SIM cards because they're of the fear of the phones being tracked. In the evening, a girlfriend of mine and two other of her friends, we were just, you know, chilling. But then there's this call coming in frequently. Okay, and then I picked up the phone and the person was like, "Can we meet? Where are you?" And I said, "I'm actually by my friend's place. Where do you stay?" And I said, "Okay, I stay at so and so. Can we meet?" And I said, "Okay, we can meet," not knowing that this person was the very same person who their phone got stolen and their SIM card got disposed of. So immediately they got me into the car and said, "This phone is stolen. So who stole this phone?" I tried explaining to them, like, "Guys, no, I picked up this SIM card." They put me in the car and I felt very, very intimidated and threatened. I didn't know what was happening because everything was happening all in a rush. These people asked me, "Where do you stay?" I showed them where I stay. They took me there. These people were making a lot of noise at my house. I think they had a hope that maybe my story would actually change when they were threatening me at that moment. My story didn't change. It stuck the way it did because I was telling the truth.
Failing to get a confession to match their theory, the men took Teboho to a police station outside of the local jurisdiction.
They didn't take me to the nearest police station. They took me to a police station where this other guy had connections. The police didn't give me a chance to actually explain how the SIM card got into my phone. I remember there's this one other male police officer who actually told me to take off my shoelaces. And after taking off the shoelaces, I remember he pulled up my sweater, started beating me. "Where's the phone?" I I tried explaining. I don't know anything about the phone. I don't know anything about the phone.
The police officer continued assaulting Deboho while demanding that she reveal the whereabouts of the phone associated with the SIM card Deboho had found. The police officer also made reference to Deboho's sexual orientation.
Ibile o gay. Like, are you gay? He sounded of this disgust in his voice. When he was saying Ibile o gay, it sounded as if he wanted vouchers or he was throwing me in a lion's den, and they just put me straight into the cells with older people than I was. I was still a minor. There was this one guy who was taking care of me, but then everything broke loose when this guy got released. It was very late in the night when I thought I was getting warm, and then I felt someone kind of trying to snuggle in. I felt somebody pulling the blanket, and he said, I'm going to fuck you. That's what he said. I felt all powerless. He was taking everything that I had that I regarded as my dignity. Like, this person ripped me off. He was stripping me off. Him whispering in my ear, and him pulling the blankets was him way of saying, you now in the cold, I'm grabbing the blanket away from you, and now I'm in your ear, and what I'm gonna do to you, no one else is here to help you. Okay, now it was full force, 3 to 4 guys. I tried to scream. I definitely tried to scream. I was very young at that age, and I was quite powerless. I was quite powerless. There was nothing I could have done to actually restrain these people or keep them from actually doing anything to me. At first, I was putting it in a much decent way, but then at this point in time, I understand that I was raped because I was penetrated. It was quite painful. It was quite painful because I've never experienced such. That's just what happened. This is what happened on Friday. This was what happened on Saturday. And Sunday, I was very relieved to actually be called out. I was kept there for the whole weekend. They took me in Friday after school, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday, the social worker came to release me out of them. I was even scared to tell the social worker who was releasing me. I was limping in a way, but then not trying to show them. I didn't tell anyone. I was fearful for my life as well as for my family. To this day, there are certain smells that I just am familiar with that I don't wanna ever. And I don't like noise. I don't like noise because when you scream at me, you take me back to what happened to me in prison, because there were a lot of stamping, there was a lot of singing, there was a lot of chains banging, there was a lot of door slamming, you understand? So every time that happens, it just triggers me and I just kind of spiral out of control. Even my sexual life isn't that. It triggers a lot of memories.
2 years after the assault, when Deboho was 14, she received devastating news.
One day I was with a friend of mine who went to Tlhabane Clinic. I think I had already turned 14 or something. Yeah. We went into the clinic and I was like, okay, let me just take tests just for fun's sake. You know, just to see how my health is going. And my test actually came back HIV positive. I had never had sex. It was very devastating. I didn't take my medication there and then because I was like, no, this is not what happened to this. This cannot be what happened. I cannot be HIV positive. How could this happen to me? Like, I was young. How could I get this virus that people say kills at this tender age? and get to take meds at this tender age, and I just denied to myself. So I was very in denial of the whole thing, even though I tested through and through, and I went again and again testing positive, and I was like, these are not my tests. I'm definitely HIV negative. I'm not positive. Regardless of what happened in prison, I'm definitely not positive. I remember going to the clinic to get my meds. I went there, I drank one bottle of my meds and was like, Regardless of what these tests say, I'm definitely not HIV positive. I would go and test again, and the test came back again positive. And knowing how all this transpired, how I actually got this virus, it just took me back to that experience, to me just shutting down and wanting to be alone and isolating myself from everything else and everyone. I had all these anger issues. I isolated myself. I felt like I had depression and whatnot. And I was having all sorts of suicidal thoughts.
The only way she could have contracted HIV was when she was gang-raped during the weekend she was held in police detention. Debo, whose mental health suffered immensely.
It was in July 2018. That day, I visited a friend of mine who's staying in Tembisa. She stays just nearby the railway station. In the evening, she went to work and left me alone. I was drinking. Well, there was nobody to talk to, and I kept on having these suicidal thoughts. I was drinking. I was drinking. I was drinking. I was drinking. And that's when I went out to the railway. And lucky for me, it was a few hours before a train can actually come to pass. So somebody called me an ambulance. They took me in, and apparently I had too much to drink, as they said it. So they drained the alcohol in my system, and I was there for about, 2-3 days to be exact. And then they took me in for therapy. Yeah, and then I saw a therapist. This was not the first episode, by the way. So the first one was when I overdosed on pills. I took a whole lot of mixed tablets, and I overdosed. Luckily for me, they weren't that severe, so I just was not admitted to hospital or anything like that. I just got a bit sick here and there, and you know, my sister noticed something was wrong. She bought me milk. I puked.
Debogo is 28 now. She says she has found some relief in speaking about the traumas she experienced as a child.
What I felt that the police station I was held in, the thing that they could have actually done differently, for one, having me put alone in the cell, or didn't even put me in a cell, put me with them in the office, or to avoid anything happening to me, not being detained at all because I was still a minor. Nobody came to check up on me. The justice system let me down in a way that I would never explain to it. My life right now is in one position I wouldn't actually wanted it to be after my school years. Me being in detention has really damaged some part of me that I've never got to show emotion after that. My relationships didn't even last because I didn't even want to show emotion whatsoever, and I didn't ever want to like be involved in any sexual activities with my partner whatsoever. Because I felt like they taking me back to what happened in the holding cells. That's why most of my relationships up to now, I would say, would suffer a lot, actually.
Debogo still hopes to find work as an international makeup artist.
My hopes for the future, as I've said, I've always wanted to be a makeup artist. I like being by myself, and that just draws me to to having suicidal thoughts a lot because it takes me back there. And every time I have to take my meds, that always reminds me that this is what happened. So going into the future, I would like for me to actually engage more with people and socialize a lot. I just want to be a voice to gay men and transgender people who don't want to speak up. It gives me a great sense of freedom speaking out.
This podcast was produced as part of a collaboration between Just Detention International South Africa and Out Wellbeing.